But the core of leadership, what is that about? Is, okay, so we know where we need to go. And obviously we discussed that in a very short period of time. I would encourage you to go and think, pray, study more at home as to we know where we need to go, God's agenda, bearing his image, grow, love, seek and save. What does that look like for your group? Because remember, your group will look very different than my group. And my group might be looking very different than someone else's over years group. Where they're there is might be in a very different, not path, it would be similar, but it would look different. It would be in the same direction, but it would be maybe further down the line or closer on the line. But you need to figure out that. Figure that out, okay? Where there is for your group, and then we need to be crystal clear on the why. And I think that's a big one for many of us. The why. His name, his renown, is the desire of my heart. The core of leadership is, so what is it going to take from our side to be able to move people from here to there? Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about the five C's. Now, I know when I say five C's, there are people that gag. Okay. But the five C's are at the core of what it is that we do. And the question on the five C's, we'll unpack them now. First C is calling, the second one is connection, the third one is character, the fourth one is competence, and the fifth one is chemistry. Okay? The question is not, do I know that these are the five C's? The question is not, do I know that is the core of leadership? The question is, am I becoming and developing these five things in my life? Not am I perfect, not am I super duper, am I moving forward in these things? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the idea. Let's unpack of them. We'll start with the first one. And buckle up, I know we're going to have this one, then we're going to have a discussion. Afterwards, we'll break up in groups. But the first C, we're going to only have discussions on three of them, on number one, three, and five for time's sake. But number one is your calling as a leader. In order for you to be able to move from here to there, or move the people at least from here to there, your calling as a leader needs to be clear. Let me ask you this question. As a small group leader, family group leader, whatever kind of leader you currently are, whatever it is that you're leading, do you believe that God has called you to do this? That he has called you by name to be a small group leader and to the small group that you're leading? Do you believe that he's called you by name to be a family group leader? That he has called you by name to roll up your sleeves and help his people to bear his image into the world? That has called you to move the group that you lead from here to there into a better future? Okay? That he has called you, not just for yourself, but for everyone in your group, that you're going to take them from here and you're going to move them to a better future and there, where they will be bearing his image into the world in a greater way. Now, let me just be clear on what it is that I'm not asking. Okay, so my question is, do you believe that God has called you by name to do this job? That's the question. I'm not asking if you believe that you are a natural leader. Those are two different questions. I'm not asking if you believe that you're doing a great job at it and that people around you are changing by the dozens. I'm not asking if you're finding it easy or if it is well suited with your personality or temperament. That's not the question. What I am asking is if you believe that this is what God has called you as the individual to do. Not for the group as a whole, here, not for the person sitting next to you, but you. That he has called you to help his people, that he has entrusted to you to move from here to there, to move on to his agenda, to bear his image into the world for the glory of his name. This is a very important question. And that is also why it is the first C. For let me tell you this, if the call is not clear, you are definitely not going to be willing to pay the price to do whatever it is that needs to be done in order to move, and sometimes obstinate people from here to there. Instead of paying the price, you will be making excuses as to how this is not for you. You will be feeling sorry for yourself and wondering how you got yourself into this, and if there is any way that you can get yourself out of this. If the calling is not clear, you will be complaining about how difficult the group of people is that has somehow landed in your lap and have somehow even been there for years. You'll constantly be thinking about how hard the task of leadership is and how it would be so much nicer if you could just be you. And you don't have to worry about them. Okay? If the call is not clear, those are the kind of feelings and thoughts that you will be having. So my question again is the call clear? Have you worked it out with God, between you and him alone, that it is clear, God, this is what I believe that you want me to do, at least for the next 12 months. 2019, you can rethink that baby. Maybe we need to do it in 12-month portions. And I'm not asking, do you believe that he's asked you to look after this group for the rest of your life? I think at the end of every year, we need to realign and we need to pray and we need to work it out with God and we need to ask, Lord, have you released me? And I do believe that a day will come that he will release you if you're called, and then he might give you another assignment. But until that day comes, if he has called, he is called. But you need to figure it out, and you need to work it out with God, I think, at least every 12 months. So the question is your call clear? Let me give you some guidance on to whether it is yes or no. Let's take a look at two types of leaders, or two types, rather, of callings in the Bible that might help you. So I'm going to give you two callings. So here are the options. You might be have received call number one that we're going to take a look at, which I call that I was made for this calling, okay? Or you might have received call number two, or you might not have been called at all, okay? Those are the three options. Let's take a look at call number one, okay? Call number one is that I was made for this calling, Isaiah chapter 6. You can turn there, otherwise you can just listen. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, in the year of King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, this Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory, his agenda. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and he said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard a voice of the Lord calling, Whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us? And I said, Here am I. Send me. This is the I was made for this calling. You have seen Jesus. Jesus have given you an assignment that you believe you were made for, and you are saying, Here am I, send me. I certainly felt that way when I became a Christian. When we did the discipleship study. We did the discipleship study, and just on that I thought, oh man, this is, I'm called for this. We are made for this. We're all made for this. Okay? But there was a sense of, man, yes. No matter my limitations, no matter that I'm not good at this or good at that, it's just yes, 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 yes. Let's do it. And from that moment, I mean, the guy walked out of the house. He went in his car and off he went. I called my first friend. I said, dude, I just did a radical Bible study where I learned that you and I are not Christians. Come, bring your Bible. Come out of my house right now and I'll tell you why. And bring cigarettes because this is hectic stuff. Yep. And he came and we looked and we both, yes, no, this is it. The call was clear. When I was asked to go into the full-time ministry, there was certainly a wrestling time, but then the call was clear. Totally. I believe that this is what God wants me to do. Without a shadow of a doubt, this is what I, not to go into the business world. No, this is what I believe he wants me to do. Later on in my leadership, the call became clear that I need to get better as a leader. Okay? And again, it was clear. I've seen different people go through this. I've seen people be a Christian for 20 years, one of the guys that I know in Johannesburg, where the call was not clear. And one day in a message, 20 years in or 25 years in, something was said in the message, and it just was like a light bulb went on. And it's just like, man, I am called to do this, to do more than just look after myself. I'm called to lead others. And the call became clear. I've seen people miraculously turn corners with these things. I think I've told this story where I was trying to build service teams in Johannesburg, and I was looking for a service team leader that could lead all the effort, and asking around, what do you think? What do you think? I don't know the people. Who would be good at this? Who would be good at this? And I got the same name 9 out of 10 times. And everyone told me his name, said, this dude is too busy. His life is too complicated. He was managing, I think, 120 people in his department. Too much, too much, too much. He's a great guy, but he can't do it. He can't do it right now. This, that. I said, okay, well, at least let me ask him. And so I called him. And I said, his name's Alan Nicol. I said, Alan, I just want to know if we can have coffee. He says to me, listen, I've heard that you are asking these questions. I've heard what you want, and I really appreciate the offer, and it's very kind of you to think about that, me in that way. I've spoken to my wife, and unfortunately, you know what, in this season of my life and everything, I just won't be able to do it. I said, listen, makes complete sense to me. Can we please have coffee? We had coffee. I explained to him where we were. In other words, where I believed at that time, the region that I was a part of, where the year was. I explained where the there needs to be. And as I explained where the there needs to be, there were little sparkles in his eyes. And you could see he was getting excited. And he was still saying, you know, ooh, this sounds really interesting, man. But no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And I said, amen, I completely understand it. Why don't you think about it, pray about it? He waited, thought about it, he prayed about it, I think, for about a day, and he called me and said, I'm in. What do I need to do? Where do we go from here? Call was clear. Okay, did an excellent job at it before he moved to Auckland. Okay, that is the, I was made for this, calling it as crystal. Let me ask, let's be honest here. A moment of honesty, if we can all huddle up. Who of us currently feels like that's us with being a small group leader? Now, don't be shy. No one's judging. Where you feel like, man, that is, I believe I'm called to do this. I was made for this. You can put up your hand. Don't feel shy. Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Okay. We have someone. Anyone else? Anyone else? I've got 50. I've got 50. I've got 60. Okay. Okay. Calling number two. This is what I call with the heavy hand of the Lord on me calling. uh, Okay? With the heavy hand of the Lord on me calling. And this is a calling. This is quite a different calling than the I was made for this calling, but it's still a calling. In Exodus chapter 3, we all know the story. God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and then it says, the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses must have thought himself, this is awesome. God has heard our cries. 4 centuries of living in slavery. He has come to redeem his people. This is so exciting. Verse 10. God continues. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses is saying, wait. I love the idea. We need out. But not from, this is not for me. Who am I? This is not my skill set. It's not my temperament. It's beyond me. I really want to say thank you for the opportunity. Thanks for thinking of me, from speaking to me from the bush, and this is all very special. Something I can tell at home, everything. But you know what? Who am I? This is not for me. Verse 12, and God said, listen, I will be with you. Moses responded saying, geez, hey, I don't know. He said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? I mean, I can't do this. I don't even know your name. This is impossible. God said to him, just say to them, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to them. I am has sent me to you. Just go and say, the great I am has sent me to you. Moses is like, okay. I get that. What if they do not believe me? And they say to me, no, the Lord did not appear to you. Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by its tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This said the Lord, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, have sent them to you. That he appeared to you and that he sent them to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside of his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses, eagerly I assume, put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these 2 signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it out on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood onto the ground. Can you picture the scene? You have a staff. What is that in your hand? A staff. And there's a snake. Pick it up. Back again. Put your hand. And then take it out. Put it back in. Take it out. Clear. And he's saying, that stuff is nothing. Let me tell what I can do with water. I can change water. If they don't believe that stuff, which is pretty radical stuff, but then you just take water, you pour it out, and it will be blood of all things. After that, Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I've never been eloquent. Neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. Isn't that funny in itself? I've never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you've spoken to me. Nothing has happened in this gap. Okay? No miracles has taken place. Other than this bush and this snake thing to me, things have happened around me, but not to me. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. But Moses said, Oh Lord, please let someone else do it. Does that sound familiar to any of us? Please, Lord. Please. Pretty please. Can someone else do it? God's response to this little fiasco. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. Notice, he didn't feel sorry for him. And he said, oh, shame. Boy, you can't speak. All the little problems you've... Oh, shame. No, I can clearly understand. No, the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I'm just like, dude, I know he can speak well, a.k.a. I know you can't speak well. I'm not stupid. Okay, but I know he can. He's already on his way to meet you. And his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you to speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you and will be as if you were, it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the miraculous signs with it. God is saying, Moses, stop making excuses and go and do what it is that I'm calling you to do. Moses was called to lead God's people onto God's agenda, temperament and all. Notice, God never disagreed with him as to that he didn't have the strength to do it. God never disagreed with him that he wasn't very eloquent. He never disagreed with him that the people wouldn't believe. He agreed with all those things, and in spite of all of these things, he said, listen, dude, it is not about you. We're not here talking about your name and your renown and your glory. We're talking about my name, my renown, my glory, my strength, and what it is that I'm asking you to do. For my name, for my glory, and through my strength. And Moses went with the heavy hand of the Lord on him. This is the what I call the with the heavy hand of the Lord calling. Even after all of that, you might think, you know what? I would have liked to, but I don't have the goods. Tell that to Gideon. His clan was the weakest clan in the tribe. His family the weakest in the tribe. And he was the weakest dude in the family. But the thing is, people don't listen to me. Tell that to Paul, who felt like moving his group onto God's agenda was like the pains of childbirth. And he did it anyway. I would have done it, but it's just I don't have any results. Tell that to poor old Jeremiah, who for 40 years called the people to repent, who for 40 years said, guys, if we do not change our ways, the Babylonians are going to come. And they're going to take us captive out of this land. It's going to be bad for us, and we will all be slaves. They threw him in a pit. He came out of the pit. He kept on teaching and preaching. And at the end of the day, he was cuffed with them. And with them, he went to Babylon as a slave. Did he respond to his call? Yes. It wasn't his job to get the people to respond. It was his job to make the call and do what it is that God has called him to do. The call is the call. Where are you at on this one? Okay. A, one, were you made for it? Two, which I think there might be a fair amount of us in that group, is the heavy hand of the Lord on you? Or number three, is it simply just not your call?